It's not a siesta in a Willy Willy. Okay. The rubbish dump, Mount Opala, I call them, is, what is that? Troy said 120 feet? Or is that the total that they like bring them to? But I just gonna say, hey, 80 feet, that's 8 stories. You know, all these is, you know, I'm not gonna say this, all these kind of like excuses of 20 years, like 2 decades. Wow. So, and he said another thing, like 10 years it's gonna take. Well, when is this gonna end? You know, the landfill talks. I never did hear about them. I never did hear about no meetings. I guess it's only a select few, okay, that is invited to do, you know, input. But I just being honest, I never did hear about no landfill talks, no landfill meetings, you know, and yeah, that is pretty sad. See, but the situation I can understand is, you know, the talk gonna be, well, not in my backyard. Well, you know what? It's in somebody's backyard already for 70 years. Is that acceptable? I don't think that's acceptable. It's like he's older than me. So, in a way, please maybe put a time limit if you guys gonna grant this extension. But I guess you guys' backs is against the wall, as from what I hear. So the scenario is, please put a time extension and got to get something going. And the EPA definitely needs to come to the island and figure this out instead of just barking and barking in their computers or wherever they are. Mahalo nui.
Thank
Again,
you.
Clayton Kubo, Waimea Kauai. Aloha.
Aloha, Clayton. Is there anybody else who'd like to? Yes, please come forward. I've been waiting for you.
I'm not here for this item.
Oh, okay.
And I wasn't going to speak. But I feel obligated to as an environmental scientist. So for the record, my name is Fern Anuinui Holland, born and raised on the island of Kauai. As an environmental scientist that's done water quality monitoring surrounding landfills, some of the biggest landfills in Australia, I understand them very well. I'm not here to say whether I do or don't support this decision, because honestly, like Clayton said, I think we're backed up to a wall here. I think the problem is, like, for the last like over 10 years, I've been fighting for curbside recycling, which we can't get. We don't have the funding for. You know, over 10 years ago, the mayor stripped the MRF out of the budget, the Material Resource Recovery Center, that would take some of the stuff out of what ends up in the landfill. And we don't have like comprehensive solutions for these kind of things. And so we're kind of stuck in this situation now where we weren't able to secure another site. Where is there another site? It's the wettest place in the world. You know where you need to have a landfill and a dry site. There's so many things about the requirements of where a landfill goes that we're really struggling to find a place, and we have to have one. In a matter of a few years, the EPA is going to file a cease and desist. And in a few years, we're not going to have anywhere to dump our trash. We're going to have to ship it on barges to somewhere else. And that's going to be a huge cost to the county, of which our departments are already so stretched financially. And so it's like, what other option do we have other than this, you know? But the problem is like 20 years ago, you know, why is it that the rest of the world can have curbside recycling and we cannot? You know, why is it that we can't get a MRF? Like, if the MRF was built 20 years ago, we would have many, many years beyond what we have right now before this thing was full, before we had the cease and desist, before we reached capacity. And I feel obligated to speak to that, even though I know you have no power over any of that.
You'd be surprised.
It's upsetting, because it's like, what are we going to do? Like, we have to, like, to what Troy said, this is our only landfill. We don't have another option, you know, and we are backed into a corner, but it's decades of bad decisions that have backed us into this corner, and we're here now. When is there an end to Clayton's point? At what point isn't, you know, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Like Mount Opala, like, is not a joke. That's the tallest thing on the west side. I mean, I think we have to like think more comprehensively. We're an island in the middle of the ocean, and we're not doing any of this right. And I just feel obligated to share that frustration. But
thank you.
Can I ask, do you guys pay for municipal solid waste collection or is it free?
We pay in our home ownership, like we pay for trash. And yeah, services with the county. Yeah. And then you like pick what size bin you want. But I know that like years ago in the budget for the old assessment, when they were going to do it at Calupa Ridge, they did look at a MRF and then they scratched it from the budget. Like they do with things when you got to make financial decisions. It was scratched out many years ago. I think that was like 10 or 12 years ago. Don't quote me on that, but it was a while ago. But yeah, we pay, but there's no curbside recycling. And now nobody believes in recycling because people think that it just gets dumped in the trash. So even like I have to hand sort my recycling, which I do, which I'm probably one of the few that actually does. And I drive it down myself and I hand sort it. And then people are like, why are you doing that? It just gets dumped in the landfill because now we don't send it anywhere. We have nowhere to send it. So there's not enough education in the community as well.
There's not an incentive, right? I mean, that's how it used to be in Oahu until, you're right, we got the bins. Now everybody's extremely conscious.
It's and people don't even trust it. So people make an excuse probably because they don't want to have to sort. You know, I have four different bins in my house. I sort it all and then I take it and I dump it. You know, I actually found out that my boyfriend, bless his heart, was taking it to the landfill anyway after I would sort it for months. But I'm one of the few that's like super passionate. I mean, I have a degree in environmental sciences. I have a responsibility to act on those things that I know, but there is a huge amount of distrust in recycling in Hawaii altogether. People just, ever since all that news a couple of years ago that China stopped taking our recycling, they don't think it's going anywhere. And I think that there's like a larger state incentive of educating people that your recycling does make it to a recycling facility. That could actually be really helpful because a lot of people are just losing faith in that that's even a thing and it's just going to end up in a landfill.
No, thank you so much. Any other comments, questions? Okay. Is there a motion? Karen?
Before you vote, please. My name is Jackie.
Yeah,
hi. Sorry. Jackie Manabuson.
Did you want to make a comment on this one? I'm sorry.
Please. Thank you. I'm the president of Kapa'a Business Association, and what Fern was talking about, curbside recycling, is very prevalent on the mainland. And when tourists are here, they're looking for places to recycle. And I'm wondering if we could think outside the box a little bit before you vote and maybe put a stipulation on this extension requiring curbside recycling to be implemented within a certain amount of years, a reasonable amount, maybe 2 to 5 years. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Would you like to come up? Yeah. 2 minutes.
Okay. So Angela Melody Young testifying on behalf of CARES, Grassroots, and neither in support nor in opposition, just as an advocate to advocate for a better environmental facilitation process. I think as a state, there can be more things done to be conscious of environmental damage caused by the developmental processes, wherever the development process is taking place, whether it's in Kauai or Kakaako Ward. Native Hawaiians and locals are concerned about these sorts of buildings. As an advocate, you know, standing in the gap of community concerns, hearing over the last year in a series of hearings at the city and the state, people don't want more luxury development. And there was the, I think, Senate bill from February 2023, Senate Bill 34, where the AG declared that it's unconstitutional to stop foreigners from coming to Hawaii to buy out 304 luxury buildings. So, and yet we don't want more development, so there has to be a balance. And although there is no way to stop building of luxury hotels, there can be more application of the laws which relate to the environmental facilitation processes. And if something is
Melody, can I ask you to summarize?
Yeah. So the cocoa bombs is okay. Produced for the Hawaiian.
Do you know which agenda item this is? No, this isn't. This is the Kekaha landfill.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That'll be tomorrow, actually.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you. Okay, board members. Karen?
Okay. I guess at this point, our backs are up against the wall and there's no other way that we can do. But so we will, I'm recommending that we grant you the requests, but at the same time, I'd like to see more community outreach, more education, more recycling awareness, because that is something that, I mean, when you say 40% gets recycled, I recycle all my stuff. So we need to reach out to a lot more people. I would have expected it to be at least 60%, not 40%, because I don't know how long our recycling has been, but it's been a while now. And actually give our community what we have been paying for, because we pay for trash collection in our real property taxes and in our trash bins. So I think we need your support in making sure that our trash is going to the proper place and we're not building more landfills close to the ocean, and that they're not, you know, just being filled with everything from everybody's house. Again, this is our future generations. So extension with recommendations that there be more education, community outreach, and more recycling options.
I'll second.
I would maybe, Karen, you can reject this, but I would say maybe just making it even a little bit, requesting the establishment of a higher target for waste diversion by the county.
Okay. I would agree with that.
Okay.
How many years though? Within that 8-year period or before that?
It's up to 2031. That's what the staff submitted.
2031.
Okay. So motions. We're in discussion. I am inclined to vote against it. I have found sitting on the Land Use Commission, unless we come down with a firm date, a firm drop deadline. I mean, I listening to Troy 20 years ago, if they would have started planning 10 years, they could have built. It's a very harsh consequence. But in my view, unless we force the question, people aren't going to change their behavior. We're going to come in for another extension. So I am inclined to vote against the motion. But okay, so that's just me. With that being said, are we ready to call for the motion? Right.
So how much remaining life is in the landfill if we don't include this?
Troy, do you know? Could you answer that question? How much life is left in the landfill if we don't approve it?
Yes, and if I could also clarify, Madam Chair, your concern. So currently, the landfill is set to expire in and run out of capacity in 2027. However, we're currently seeking from the Department of Health a permit to increase the height of the landfill, the final elevation of the landfill, to a 170 feet mean sea level. That'll give us approximately, we anticipate three and a half years of additional capacity. That puts us out to 2031.
Oh.
Okay. Now, what we're pursuing here is our permit to construct cell 3. That's not going to go up to that level. Right now, in our application, I believe cell 3, the request for cell 3 is to elevation much less than that. And I don't have the capacity off the top of my head. Possibly Allison, who's online here, may have it, but I believe it's 85 feet.
Is your intention, if you build cell three, that you're gonna lower the height of cell one or phase two to below 180 feet? I mean, that is more than Mount Opala.
170 feet means. And yes, if we're able to get the cell three in place sooner, we won't go that high.
Oh.
We'll be looking at starting on accepting waste in cell three. However, it all depends on the process and how extensive the EIS process and other entitlements go to secure that the permit to begin construction. But I did want to also address your concern about not having enough effort to site a new landfill. We started the process to site a new landfill more than 20 years ago. We've put in a lot of effort, but the truth of the matter is, on the island of Kauai, there's very few places that are suitable to site a new landfill. If you allow me to show my screen, I have a map that I can share with the board that will illustrate the limited amount of areas available on Kauai for
that. I think it's okay. I mean, I don't question that you guys put a lot of effort, but I think sometimes, so long as you know that you've got this. Sort of this, we can ask for an extension. It doesn't force the vote. I mean, some communities, nobody wants it in their backyard, but it wasn't until we said Land Use Commission told the city, no more extensions. You must vacate it by the year. I think it was 2020, might have even been 2027. Did they genuinely come in and they're doing, you know, looking for something, think they're working with the military or something. But I mean, I am not questioning, because I cannot go back in time. 20 years ago, maybe we could have done 10 years ago, but we are here today. So I get it, but I feel like if I vote for this extension, there's not gonna be an impetus to say, okay, we gotta be really serious about this. So I mean, I have seen the power of when a body makes a decision to give you less options, it forces you to take an action. In the absence of that, this is your ace in a hole. I can go back and get an extension. And I'm not questioning the county's effort, but I need to push the political will. Let me put it that way. Let me put it that way. Okay. So.
Chair, you brought up a good question there. Now, Troy, I didn't know that you're going up on cell two to 170 feet. I mean, so now this is all new information again. And the extension now just allows you to keep expanding, not really finding a definite new site.
Well, actually, if I could clarify again, the height that's being allowed in this CDUP is to 85 feet, which is only about 20 feet above the current elevation now. And so there's a built-in limiting factor there for us. There's a finite amount of capacity, you know, based on that approval that we'll have to act on. And when that capacity runs out, we won't have any other options but to come back to the board again. And at that time, you know, we take it seriously because we know that when we come back to you folks, we have to have, you know, sufficient reason and justification why we need it. And not just that our backs are against the wall, that we've actually expended a significant amount of time, resources, you know, to try and secure a new landfill site. And you know, that's what we've done. For this site that I spoke about earlier, the Malo site, the last site that we actually thought we had a good chance at securing, we spent over $1 million to complete an EIS and a wildlife hazard mitigation plan. Mm-hmm. That was all completed. And in the end, even though the findings and recommendation was that we could mitigate all of those hazards, we weren't able to convince the airports division and the Agribusiness Development Corporation, sufficiently to allow them to allow the development to move forward. So, there's oversight by other agencies that really impact our ability to move ahead with these projects. And to tell you truthfully, as time passes, it's going to be more and more difficult to secure a site for this type of facility. And so the urgency is already there for us. We recognize it, we see the limiting factors, and those factors are just growing. Recently, the legislature passed Act 73 that required a buffer around these types of facilities. I believe a 1 mile buffer from each property boundary. For a small island of Kauai, and if you already have seen the limited areas that we're able to develop a landfill, that even more restricts our available areas that would be suitable for this type of facility. So we're not just here just sitting on our hands. We haven't been just sitting on our hands. We've been actually actively pursuing, landowners and areas that we find are still possible to develop a feasible operation. We take it very seriously here on Kauai. I'm not sure, what you've seen in the other counties, but I can tell you a significant amount of time and effort has been spent to get the new landfill. And we just haven't been able to overcome, in this last one, the oversight of state agencies. Even when, all the feasibility boxes were checked.
Troy, can I just ask, curious if you have a response to Jackie's recommendation, and then have you guys ever, do you have a commercial green waste commercial composting facility?
There, we have contracts with a couple of vendors that have composting operations. All of the green waste that we collect goes there. We have a commercial restriction at the landfill on green waste. There's also commercial restrictions on cardboard and metals from commercial sources.
How about food?
The landfill.
Can the food go to the compost, the commercial composting, or no? Food waste?
What is your question about commercial composting again?
Food waste?
There is no food waste composting, but we are looking at different alternatives. I believe the RFP that's being prepared now, and I see Allison here online. Allison, I'll forward it, hand it off to you so you can explain a little bit more what we're doing on that effort.
Yes, thank you, Troy, and thank you, board members. As far as food waste, we have actually been doing giving out free backyard composting bins to residents for the last 20 years, and they're able to compost food waste in their own backyards, which is a program that's been very successful. There is one commercial composter, Heart and Soul, who has a very small, they do food waste composting on a small level, but we are working with, we have a grant program where we're working with another a nonprofit that's trying to get permitted to do food waste composting. It's a little difficult to get these permits. So that was part of the recommendation of our integrated solid waste management plan to work on, you know, getting food waste composting going on Kauai. So we're working toward that effort.
Got it. And then I don't know if you heard Jackie's recycling recommendation, but wondering if you or Troy have a response.
I'd like to say, you know, we have that recycling rate of 43% represents that 43% of all the waste that's generated on the island is recycled before anything goes to landfill. And that's actually a very high diversion rate for any community. I think it's above the national average. We have green waste is actually the most recycled material, but we have, like Troy said, commercial mandates that keep a lot of material out of the landfill. And we have our drop-off program and just a variety of programs. We've been making, you know, these efforts to engage the community and divert waste from the landfill. So, you know, we're working on C&D. We're going to be putting an RFP out to get a C&D processor. Hopefully we'll be successful in that area. One of our challenges is we're really, you know, a small community with a relatively small amount of waste to process. So everything is, it's hard to get systems in place that are to scale to be able to economically, you know, do these diversion programs. But we've done, you know, the best we can. And we just have a new recycling coordinator that we hired that's dedicated solely to continuing to increase diversion.
You think you could get to 50% by like 2025?
Well, the one thing is programs need to mature. You have to implement a program and then they need to mature. So that would be a short timeline to do a 10% increase. But what we would go after for that 10% would be like the construction, demolition, food waste, like you said. And then if we could do curbside, we are actually looking at that again. We've been since Fern was correct 10 years ago, it did, the budget for the MRF was cut. And so, you know, we had a budget at that time of $10 million to build the MRF. Now construction costs have increased greatly, as you may know. And so we're actually doing another study to look at the costs and also the cost of an ongoing. It's not just building a MRF, but doing that curbside recycling, you have to hire a whole new fleet of trucks or drivers, and then you buy a whole new fleet of trucks and you have all the carts. I mean, it's a significant expense that we really need to know what it will be fully before we make that investment. But that would add maybe 5% is what we think, about 9,000 additional tons of diversion at the maturity of the program, which would be after the MRF is constructed and after the curbside recycling program is in effect and everyone's educated and participating.
I see Kaivi's hand up. Kaivi, did you want to ask a question?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Troy, you said that you guys completed an EIS, right?
Correct. That was the EIS for the Mount landfill site.
Yeah. So did airports, was airports' reluctance or denial based on that report?
No. The recommendation from that report was that, you know, there was sufficient technology, sufficient resources that we could mitigate the bird hazard. What airports decided was based on their own assessment of, I guess, you know, the volume of bird strikes and what they're dealing with regarding birds at the Lihue Airport. And they just felt that anything substantial like the operation that we would have been developing there would just contribute to, in addition to what they're dealing with. We actually proposed to them that we would be instead of contributing to the problem, we would be a partner and an asset that could actually reduce risk to the birds, you know, whatever birds that you know currently exist and populate the agricultural area where we're going to develop. We would actually be able to reduce the risk, and you know, any operation that we brought there wouldn't add to bird population.
What, you know? Can I ask what level in airports you were dealing with? Deputy director, director, what are we talking about?
I believe it, the director was involved, but primarily the deputy director, Higashi.
And that was the decision maker?
I believe the director got involved also.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Troy.
Yeah. No, I think, Troy, there's a very different administration. I think you have Ford Fujikami and Ed Sniffen. I think if you went back to them and you told them you don't have any other option, because if you've passed the environmental muster and it's just, you know, we don't want to add any more birds, but yet you may be enhancing them. I guess I'm suggesting there's a viable alternative site. And I think that should be explored further with DOT rather than putting 170 feet to Kekaha. I mean, I think that community has, they have saddled this burden for a very long time. And I would think it would be more efficient to have a landfill in Lehui rather than out at Kekaha, where people, you have to truck it all the way there. So, I mean, I think it is worth exploring. And if we have to look like the bad guy, I mean, but I think we need to share some of this burden with other than just the Kekaha community. And I will tell you from a DLNR perspective, 170 feet near the coastline gives me great concern, great concern.
Thank you, Chair. That's kind of what I was sussing out, and I was going to have an offline conversation, you know, with you about reaching out to Ed and others, because, I mean, we all know, you know, transportation is the agency that's responsible, I mean, hugely responsible for a lot of the emissions and, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, what concessions are we willing to make as state agencies to collaborate with each other to solve these problems? So that's really my questions. And I thank you, Chair, for bringing that out. I didn't want to just say it out loud, but now that we're here, Troy, that's why I asked who you were dealing with.
Okay. I guess, you know, some of the other things that are recent developments, you know, Red Hill, I guess Red Hill created a bunch of concerns. And so, you know, now from what I understand, developing a landfill above the UIC line is a prohibition. The Malo site is above the USC line. And so because of that legislation that pushes that out of the pool of possible alternatives for developing the landfill.
And that's a good point, because that's what's happening in the city and county of Honolulu. Board of Water Supply, some of the alternative sites that have been considered for city and county of Honolulu, BWS has just determined they're not in an appropriate location. They jeopardize the aquifer. I don't know where to put it. But okay, it's like I think we've exhausted this discussion. So there's a motion.
It was the motion.
There's been an amendment. Oh, go ahead.
One more thing to add to Troy. I know that you guys are looking at another site, which is directly across the street. Can you guys work faster in securing that site?
We are actually out of that site. The land management agribusiness development corp has actually redirected us. They're considering that site valuable ag land, and they're not willing to give that up for landfill development. They have, however, identified a location that's further west It's more in line or across the Pacific Missile Range facility area. And so we are in the process of securing professional services to judge or to conduct studies so we can obtain information to make decision-making regarding feasibility of that site. Even though we are able to deem that area feasible, we still won't have enough time to secure all the entitlements and develop the site before phase two closes, unless we exercise the vertical expansion and possibly cell three.
Brian, I know you're not maybe an ag specialist, and I apologize if you are, but is ADC correct in its opinion that it is prime ag land or whatever ag land that they claim it to be?
I guess they base their judgment on viable ag operations that are currently being that are currently using the property now. So the property isn't fallow; it's in current use, and the farmer there, they're part of the one of the larger companies in the Mana area conducting ag operations.
Okay, fair enough.
If I recall, Troy, I think that's the land under that. It was land that was through an executive order from DLNR to ADC. And I believe ADC did not get permission from Department of Land and Natural Resources to seek an IAL designation. I think that's the same, because they came before Land Use Commission, and Land Use Commission said, did the property owner concur with the designation? And I believe when they asked DLNR, DLNR would not give authorization to seek an IAL designation. If that's, I think that's the same land.
I think you're correct, Chair. That's why I asked.
Yeah, I think that was the same land. So I, but yeah, okay. Hard question, hard choice. So
I guess what I wanted to point out is, even though we're able to, you know, start developing a site, I think we still need the capacity that Cell 3 offers to make sure that we have landfill capacity by 2031 when phase two is scheduled to expire.
Karen, did you want to do anything more with your motion?
No, I just don't want to see it go so far that, you know, we're going to be in the ocean next. And I want the county to move faster. I mean, I'm agreeing with what Chair Chang is saying. They need to move faster. So if you can come back to us later on and say, hey, we actually did something after we grant you your extension, hopefully, then that would be a plus to you and a good side for us that, you know, hey, you listened to what we said and you're following through. So I have to agree with what Amy says. If you can get it up to 50%, Amy?
I was going to say, yeah, like 50% by 2030. Allison sounded like that might be something that would be reasonable. And I mean, I don't know if we can say something like, you know, implement the curbside program and do the MRF. I don't know if that's in our lane, but
that's in our control, but
yeah,
we're taking advantage. We're giving them restrictions now and bringing them more responsible as to this is what you're going to have. So no more extensions after that. And if you don't have to use cell three, that would even be better.
Sure, are we voting right now?
We are going
to vote. Not yet.
Oh, okay.
Just checking with Karen whether she was going to add anything more. So I think Karen has a motion. It was seconded. There was with certain recommendations, and Amy also made some additional recommendations. So with that being said,
can you repeat the motion? Everybody, since that was an hour.
Yeah, you're
we're all ready to sleep.
No, you have to hang in there at least hopefully for one more hour if you wouldn't mind.
Oh my gosh.
So Karen, as I understand, your recommendation is to approve the staff's recommendation with one that they have to look at curbside recycling.
And the MRF. With the goal of getting to a diversion rate of 50% by 2030.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Amy, don't you just want to say to achieve a certain diversion goal rather than tell them how they need to do it? Because what if they achieve the goal, but they do it a different way?
I'm fine. I mean, I think those are sort of like, sound like things that have been recommended by the community. So mentioning them rather than as a direction.
Yeah.
Aspirational, but yeah. More than that. Okay. All right. Okay. Call for the vote. All in favor, please say aye.
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 1, 2, 3, 4. Kaivi. Oh, and I've got Karen and Napua voting. Oppose?
Oppose.
I oppose. So 2. Okay. So the motion passes, Troy. The motion passes. But I think you've heard the board. You got to, you know, good luck to you. Try to get those milestones. Allison, work hard. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Quick clarification. I learned to wait till the vote. What's a MRF?
The Municipal Materials
Recovery Facility. Sure. It's a recycling facility that sorts waste. That sorts recyclables.
It's like how H Power was doing.
It's got a big head.
We'll send you guys a notification Monday, but I need to know what I'm. Okay.
Did we go through this whole thing and you don't know what a MRF is, bro?
We've had a lot of MRF today.
We sure have. Okay, so you know, you better leave while you can, Troy. You never know. Come back. So just leave while you can.
Thank you.
We're going to come back at 6:15, and then we're going to go right onto Van Emmerich. Okay.
Last one. All
right. Thank you.
Yeah. That was K3.
What's next on the agenda?
One more K.
Oh my God, I can't.
I'm
so sorry.
Are we on mute?
No.
to the last K item, which is K5. Michael?
Thank you. Michael Kane, Office of Conservation and Coastal Lands. Item K5 is a request for administrative fines and other penalties against Mr. Joshua Van Emmerich for work conducted in the shoreline without a permit in the Pomalu Pupukea area. I believe everybody's read the report. Mm-hmm. We stand on our record. I would note that we've received written testimony from the landowner and written testimony from members of the community. Okay. And I am available for questions. I'd like to stand on the record.
I appreciate that. I'm going to take Denise, you're on. Would you like to provide us some testimony?
Thank you, Chair Chang, members of the board. I know it's late. I'll try to be brief. I hope you do get a chance to at least flip to my testimony. I want to follow that. First of all, this is back in front of the board in a very short amount of time. Why? Because the landowner blatantly continued unauthorized work after cleaning up partially on the deadline that you gave him last time. So I think this is an absolutely egregious case. So first, I think the fines, again, commending OCCL for their very swift action, bringing this back to the board. But number one, I think the fines should be $15,000. That's the max daily, because these were willful violations. There's no doubt that this homeowner knew exactly. He's been before the board and been through the ringer enough. So in my view, those $15,000 daily penalties should accrue for every day since November 7th, or actually November 8th, which is the notice, the written notice from OCCL. So those should continue to accrue until all of the illegal system is removed. And that is a very substantial fine that could be up to $450,000 per month, but you have flagrant willful violations. Number two, he actually did not remove all the concrete. Remember the pouring of the concrete and the removal, and OCCL had to go back out there and do an inspection. And despite the representations that were made to this board by him and his attorney, it was not all completely removed. Most of it was, but the settlement agreement, and I reprint parts of that in my testimony, says all. Every time there's a reference to the material, it says all. Not all of it was removed. So in my view, that those are continuing violations, and there were also really blatant misrepresentations to the board. I don't know if you remember, his attorney said, Josh's burritos are gone, the concrete is gone. I went back on the video and provided you the citation to the video. It's just such an affront, I think, to the board and to the public. And they acknowledge that further enforcement action may be happening, which is exactly what's happening. So for those continuing encroachments, that is the remnant concrete and materials in front of his house, again, it's acknowledging that most of it's gone, I think there should be $1,000 per day continued fines until those are removed. Last, and I don't say this lightly, but I really do think this is criminal behavior, willful violation of state law. I am not a criminal lawyer. I don't know if there's a criminal lawyer in the room, but at minimum, it's criminal trespass on state lands under the HRS 708-814.5. Admittedly, these kinds of situations are very unusual and you don't think of criminal law, but I just think the message here is so absolutely offensive to the board and to the public that strong enforcement action is required. Hopefully he won't have to come to the board again. Let's make sure that happens. Thank you.
Who was the attorney that represented him in the settlement?
Well, it was Forrest Jenkins, and I do not know if he is continuing to represent this homeowner.
That that attorney-client relationship has been terminated as of the beginning of October.
Okay. Oh, even before, after. Well, he is, for the record, Mr. Van Emmer is not here in the boardroom, nor is he present in Zoom. So he is not not here. But I would ask you, Denise, mm-hmm. your request is to do a $15,000 per day, $1,000. In light of the, would we have to amend this landlord submittal for purposes of due process?
That's a wonderful question for your Deputy Attorney General.
Fair enough. That's a very fair response. Good for you. Okay.
All I can, I'll hold on that.
Okay. Board members, I mean, is there anybody else in the audience, in Zoom? I don't think so. Board members.
Was he notified of this proceeding today?
Yes. And he did submit written testimony, so we're confident.
Yeah, he received and he was aware. Yeah. And that testimony, it was pro se. He was not represented by counsel.
That is correct.
Yeah. That's my recollection.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I guess I'm not so much material.
Sorry.
Can you recall what his response was?
Yes. So, like, our allegation is that, so October 2nd, we did a site inspection to close out the settlement agreement.
Right.
Like Denise mentioned, there was remnant cement and debris, although most of it had been removed. 2 weeks later, workers were observed digging a trench, and then the weekend after. And then we've included the photo documents. His response was that they were digging a trench and laying burritos, but they were at the wrong property. So when he found out the second day, he's claiming that was the workers digging the trench to remove the unauthorized burritos. But I would point out that Ms. Antolini has provided.
I'm sorry, Michael, can you put the mic closer to you?
Do I have to repeat all that? Sorry. Usually I'm too loud. Do you need me to repeat that or did you catch it?
I thought you said that it was on the wrong property. Is that what you said?
So Mr. Van Emmerich's testimony claimed that the first day that we observed workers, they were actually at the wrong property and he was out of town. He claims that the second day we observed work, it was actually the workers removing it so that he didn't get a violation. I would note, currently the property is covered by a lot of sand, but Denise has submitted photos from November, so after it was quote unquote removed, showing a geotextile fabric tarp still present. I would also note that the photos he submitted, the dates don't match.
My God. So the material is still there, according to...
We know that some material is still there. So much sand is accumulated. We don't know what's underneath the sand. We just know that we observed a burrito being placed there.
So can I ask the Deputy Attorney General if Denise's... her testimony was that this should be a $15,000 a day fine rather than a one-time fine. Is there a due process issue if that we didn't include that on the staff submittal? Can we amend the staff submittal to include such a fine?
My advice would be not to. I think you're going to run into a due process issue.
Okay. And that there's an ongoing violation. I mean, this is up until.
So the fines, we've actually broken them up similar to the previous case. So the conservation district fines are per incident, but the fines under HRS 171 are per day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's $1,000 per day.
Mm-hmm. So you have
all the maximum allowable fines per type of infraction.
That's my understanding.
Yeah.
Okay. But so your total is 77,000.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's combined OCCL plus land division.
And that is fines until what date?
From the notice of violation until this board meeting.
So November 8th to December 7th.
December 7th. December.
Yeah, so it's up until today.
December 7th, but
so it's like a 30 days. Okay.
So whether fines continue, I don't know.
Well, so I was going to say, if fines continued, you could take
more action.
Okay.
I move staff's recommendation, and I think we should stick with the 77, especially since he is not present.
Is there a second?
Second.
A motion has been made and seconded to approve staff's recommendation. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
I see hands, three of our hands, Kaivi, Napua, and Karen. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you very much.
Okay. If you don't mind, board members, and thank you, Denise. We are going to now move on to items D. So, Russell, Ian, and Kevin. Fortunately, the board members decide to stay, and let's take items D to the extent that we can, other than Cocoa Palms. We're not going to do Cocoa Palms.
Okay. Good evening, Chair. Russell asked me to take the high shift.
Okay.
So you want to start with D5?
Yes.
Okay, D5 is a Kauai matter. It's requesting the cancellation of an executive order to the County of Kauai, and then approving a lease to a nonprofit entity, which is the Kapa'a Business Association, Inc.
It's testimony. This
one. Nonprofit office, meeting hall, and public parking purposes. The rent would be $480 per year. And staff recommendation is to approve the EO cancellation and the issuance of the lease.
Okay. And I know we do have people who are on Zoom who have been waiting for a very long time about this matter. Jackie, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
And you wanted to provide testimony on item D5?
Absolutely. One of our board members, Neil Sams, should be on the line. And he has a document he'd like to share. Neil, are you with us? Unfortunately,
I am here.
Oh, great.
Just got back on.
Thank you for your patience.
Yeah. So what we at the KBA want to do is, of course, get a lease for this property. It's been a property that's been stressed for quite a while. The building in the back had been derelict and was finally demolished after the 10-year period had been used for drug use and graffiti and safe harbor for homeless people. So there's still another building on the property.
I'm sorry, Neil, you're kind of going in and out.
No, I cannot hear you. And plus two, we're looking at your hat, where I'm looking at your hat. I know you like Costa Rica, but.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to move your camera.
No, brother, yeah, you got to put your.
We're having a really hard time. Jackie, can you fill in for Neil?
Because we're absolutely having a hard time hearing you.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. If someone can mute Neil, then you'll be able to hear me.
Okay.
As Neil was saying, there was one structure on the property that was taken down. It was being used for drug use and other, you know, not so great things. There was one structure left there that is it's in pretty good condition, and the Kapa'a Business Association feels that we can take it over and rehab it. And we would use it for our headquarters. We would also use it as a meeting space. And we would offer it to community members or community organizations for meeting spaces. And we have a plan to use 1/3 of the property for that building, 1/3 of it for open green space, and 1/3 of it for much needed parking. And we have a parking challenge in Kapa'a. Old Town, and we feel that this would meet the need. We've been working with Representative Nadine Nakamura. We have letters of support from her, and we have been working with Felicia Cowden from the Kauai County Council, and we have a letter of support from her. And we have also been working with Bernard Cavallo, who's also a county council member. They're all in support of what we are proposing. The lease is a nominal amount. We've also been working with a local halal, and we're looking at partnering with them and having them use part of the building for storage and maybe presentation of some Hawaiian artifacts that they have. They would also use part of the property for halal performances and teaching, which would further the Hawaiian culture in the area. It's a beautiful property. We really feel that partnering with that organization, and we really feel that we can provide something good for the community and provide much needed parking. And it's really nice that we've got that one-third green space. I'm sure Neil probably had a lot more to say. Oh, here we go. We've got a petition. And on the petition, we have close to 100 signatures on our petition. We've been working with the neighbors in the area. And of course, we have a lot of support from the neighbors because they don't want it to continue as a derelict site. And we do have some opposition, people saying that this should have been possibly brought to the community and let them make comments on it. Unfortunately, we were not part of that process. That passed a long time ago. And we have tried recently to meet with some community members, and the things that they brought up were things that we couldn't address. We can't reverse the clock and go back and give community input to something that we didn't have the ability to orchestrate that back when it was first being discussed. We were approached by county and state officials to possibly look at doing this. And that's why we said, sure, we can do this. This could be a win-win for everyone. So I hope that I have covered this fully. If you have any questions, I'll do my best to answer them for you. Thank you for your time.
Yes, Vernon.
I do have a question, Ms. Manabusan. Kapaa Business Association, is it a 501c3 organization?
Absolutely.
It is?
Yes.
Not just a general nonprofit, but a nearly imaginary charitable organization?
We are a 501c3 nonprofit entity.
That qualifies.
I guess just the name of the organization. I think, you know, all the things you've slated for it makes a lot of sense. I'm just thinking, however, that it's like the Chamber of Commerce or a business organization, especially where the use of the property is going to be for more parking for the businesses in that area, who I gather are your members.
Not our members. Well, yes, some of the businesses are our members. It would be for the patrons of the businesses that would be parking there. And we're not gaining anything from this. Mm-hmm. If they're... We will use the space, but we will provide the space also to other community members, community organizations to meet there also if they would like to do that. We'd like to share the space. And it's in really bad shape. It is a horrible, horrible site that is, it's just so sad to see it to continue to.
Sounds admirable. I mm-hmm. just wondered the 501c3, maybe Karen might know more about this organization and the 501c3 aspects of that entity.
Yes, and I actually met with them in a meeting in Kapaa, and there was 2 hours of discussion going back and forth. But I think that Kapaa Business Association is going to do a good job in renovating the building also, because they have to do some renovations and that will cost them money. And then because it's right on the shoreline, there is setbacks and stuff that they have to follow from the county, and they are aware of it.
So I think that this is a good move.
So you're in support of this.
Can I ask Kevin and Ian, has there been any other interest in this site?
I know I talked to Allison Newstein in our Kauai office before, and I think she mentioned there was some resistance to what's being proposed in this submittal, but I don't recall anyone coming forward with an application to lease it other than Kauai Business Association. I'm sorry, I also need to request an amendment if the board were to approve this. Recommendation 3 mistakenly refers to Kauai Business Association. It should, of course, be Kapa'a. And the header of this middle also refers to Kauai. It should be Kapa'a.
But we did receive supportive testimony from the Department of Planning. Is that correct? I mean, it sounds like the government entities support this.
Yeah, there are some letters attached, and I think it's supported.
Yeah, and Karen, you met with them, and you felt comfortable. Okay. Is there anybody else? O'Reilly?
Is there a question for Karen?
Yes.
You know, Karen, there were two letters asking to defer this. Do you think that's warranted, or we should go ahead and vote on this?
One, I know the person was there at the meeting this morning.
Moriarty. Yeah, Moriarty.
Yes. She had some concerns. A lot of them just wanted to be open space.
Mm.
I don't know what the open space will do, because then the building that is there will have to be torn down, and then that opens up the whole area to just homeless people. The other thing, Jackie, can you tell me if you said that you have been in discussions with the local halau? Is that the gentleman that wanted to get the lease also?
Absolutely. Daryl Lowe and Leilani Rivera Lowe. They wanted the lease for themselves, but they weren't able to secure the lease by themselves. So we decided that we could partner with them, and they could, you know, do the things that I mentioned earlier, and we could do the things that we would like to do and open it up to the community for use and also have that open space. So we thought that was the best of, that was the best thing we could do for everyone.
So you have opened up communication with Mr. Lowe.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's been to our board meetings, and we had part of the paperwork that we submitted said that we would work with him. Yes.
And what about the other businesses that, well, I think they were more like sports groups that had concerns and said, well, we need a place to store, you know, some of our equipment and stuff. Is that something that maybe you can do later on?
That might be possible. That was actually the first I've heard of that, but we are open to working with the community to see, you know, how we can use this property in the best way we can for everyone, because it's just sitting there boarded up, and it's really awful. And it would be very nice to open it up and have some of the Hawaiian artifacts there for visitors. It's right along the bike path. It would be a great spot for mm-hmm. the hula performances. It would be, you know, just cultural education opportunities are there, and it would just be very, really nice collaboration, we believe.
Okay, just for the board members, the Lowe family, Leilani is Larry Rivera's daughter. So that's where they have all the Hawaiian artifacts from.
I see. Jackie, are you planning, does the Ke Kaha Business Association, do you plan on subleasing or generating any kind of commercial business off of this?
Well, we talked with the Lowe family about sharing in the lease. The lease is a very nominal amount, and you know, half the property for them and half for us. And we also talked about doing an honor system parking, where you drive up and there's a sign that says, you know, use this QR code and pay for the parking. Then we would take those funds and put them back into the property. We would continue to improve the property with any funds that is generated from the parking.
Because Kevin, do we have is one of our standard conditions, you know, even if it's to a nonprofit, but they're generating, you know, income, revenue, or that we have the right to revisit that?
Yeah, so I wasn't quite clear from the testifier's statement whether they're contemplating a sublease, but generally the nonprofit lease form doesn't authorize subleasing. Sometimes the board amends that provision to allow it in specific cases. Definitely if the sublease is a commercial one where the sublessee is making money, then we, you know, the nominal rent becomes an issue.
We do not understand that the halal would make any money from their performances. They would be practicing in the area, and they would not close it off. It would be an open air practice. So it would be a performance at no cost because it would be practicing. They're currently practicing at the Coconut Marketplace in the open air area over there. And they would just move their practicing to this property with no payment for, you know, viewing the performances.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Karen, are you ready? Do you want to make a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve recommendation as submitted.
Sorry.
With the correction of Kapa'a Business Association on number three.
Number three, right.
Instead of Hawaii Business Association.
Second.
I have a motion has been moved and seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And I see three hands raised, Ka'ivi, Napua, and Karen. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And
so now we're going to move on to
water.
Oh, mahalo chair. Okay. We're doing D6 tomorrow. What about D7, Kevin and Ian?
Yeah, D7 would be an Ian item. I think he's on.
Okay. Yeah, I'll keep the. Hi. Yep. Okay. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, great. Okay, item D7 is.
Yeah, wait. Ian, sorry. I would just feel more comfortable leaving 7 through 9 until tomorrow. I feel like these are going to be. I just would hate for us to take them now and then. Yeah, people feel like we were rushing through them at 7 o'clock at night. I mean, yeah, I would feel more comfortable jumping to 10, but that's just me.
Okay. I mean, I am open. I'd like to try to move as many items as we can, because I think tomorrow's going to be really full. So I'm comfortable. If Amy, if you want to just move on to D10.
That would be my
Okay,
preference.
I'm okay. D10.
Okay, we do D10. Just for your information, D9 shouldn't be controversial. It does have waterline in the title, but it's really a waterline easement relocation. So I don't think that's a controversial item, but we can go to D10.
I'm fine with going to 9.
With that clarification, let's do D9.
Okay. D9 is a request to relocate an existing water transmission line easement and issue a new electric transmission line easement for some property in Kula, Maui. And this is the property that the department acquired from a private landowner in 2020. So it came with encumbrances on it at the time. That's why we normally refer to an LOD or other document number, but we just refer to the recording information for this easement. And the easement that the private owner entered with the easement user allows it to be relocated. And so there's some maps attached to this submittal. They're relocating it in a fashion that is acceptable to DOFA, who is going to be managing this property in the future, or who may already be managing parts of it. And so the request is to relocate the existing easement at no charge and to issue a new short electrical transmission line to help power a pump, the water transmission, and that will be charged at fair market value.
I guess I had a question. The purpose sounds good, but with a name like Nowhere LLC, I wonder, was that a bona fide organization? Yeah. Have you checked out who it is, who the owners are, who the participants? Because it sounds like an April Fool's joke.
I'm sure we checked that the entity was in good standing, but as far as the name goes, I don't know. Maybe someone has a sense of humor.
Vernon, that's how they roll, bro. That's how they roll nowadays, Vernon.
Maybe it's now.
They could call themselves No Business LLC.
Maybe it's, you can now tell here. It's 6:45 p.m. Yeah,
I'm still curious as to who the owners.
Lance Jackson. Registered in California, Los Angeles.
And you have run this past DOFA, right?
Yes.
And DOFA is comfortable with this because they're the beneficiaries of this, right?
Yes.
You know, I support it because it's like two segregated easements being combined at one. So it's going to encumber the property less.
Yeah. I mean, it seems to be doing it for the right reasons, but it does seem a little suspicious.
Sure.
Yes.
I believe Scott will not be here tomorrow, and Lance Da Silva was going to speak on this if need be, but I'm prepared to just approve staff submittal at this point.
I second that motion.
Okay.
Okay.
I will go along with it.
All right. So motion has been moved and seconded to approve staff submittal for item D9. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I see three hands up. Motion's passed. Item D10.
Okay, excuse me. D10 is another Maui item. This is up on Haleakala. And what happened is a contractor for a federal agency, FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, was doing some work for them and used some unauthorized state land as a like a debris and staging area. So when the district office found out about it, they investigated and are bringing kind of an after the fact request for right of entry to this organization, PTSI Managed Services Inc., to allow for staging area, charging rent, but also kind of an added feature on this one requiring the permittee to provide a phase one environmental site assessment once done to show the property is clean.
At a minimum, they're using, Questions, board members?
So it ends on the end of the month, this month?
That's, yes, correct.
Okay. Move to approve, Chair, as submitted.
Okay, motion has been moved and seconded to approve staff submittal for item D10. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, thank you, Ka'ivi, Napua, and Karen votes yes. Motion passes unanimously. Item D11.
D11 is a request for the issuance of a construction right of entry to HART Rapid Transit in Kalihi, Honolulu for part of the rail development.
Oh, for this one? Okay. Who is the person?
I had to meet the city. Robert Stellmacher.
Is he with HART? Do you know?
He is.
I think he's a HART staff. Kevin, do you know whether Mr. Stellmacher is with the HART project?
I don't know. Ian, do you know?
I mean, because if he signed up for tomorrow.
So go ahead. Yeah. Sorry. Robert Stellmacher. So he's I believe he's like a consultant with HART. Okay. He's not hard staff, but he's a consultant with Hart and represents him in a lot of these real estate transactions.
So he was probably here just to answer any questions?
I presume so. I'm not sure if he had anything substantive to say, but.
You don't think he was here to oppose it, do you?
I don't think so. I doubt that.
Okay. All right. With that being said.
Move staff approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
The motion has moved, been made and seconded to approve staff submittal for D11. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No opposed. I got Kaivi, Napu, and Karen. Thank you. Motion passes unanimously. I think we will hold D12.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm ready to roll on D12. Let's
I'm
go.
A conqueror, Alan.
Okay, with that being said, pretty good. It's 6:50. I am going to call the meeting. Ian and Kevin, we have completed all of items of D items other than Coco Palms and Resort, right?
No.
EMI is sort of just the understood. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other water permits for the Big Island. That's Big Island D7. Hawaii. Yeah.
And yeah.
D7 and D12.
Okay. 6, 7, 8, and 12. All right. So as I understand it, we have on our agenda tomorrow D8, DAR F3.
Hey, Ian and Kevin, make sure you tell the boss you like overtime pay now.
Get out of here, Nick.
Get
out of here. No overtime pay. So we've got item D8. F1 through 5, M27, C345, engineering L1, and then D6, 7, 12. And 12.
Is there a C4?
Eight. I think
we did it. C4.
Yeah, so it's just C3 and C5.
Okay.
We did C3.
Well, I think, did we do all the DOFOs?
No. C5 still needs to happen.
Okay.
And C3.
Oh, wait.
Did we do C3? Let me just make sure. Before I adjourn.
No, we did do C3. Yeah. The watershed management. Yeah, we did.
Yeah. I thought we did all of C's.
Not five.
No, we didn't do
five yet.
No, because that's me and I have to recuse
myself. Oh, yes. Okay. Very. Yep. So with that being said. I'm going to call go ahead.
No. For your list, it's D6, 7, 8, and 12. 6, yes. 7, 8, and 12.
Eight. Yeah. 6, 7,
but 8 is out and of 12. Order.
12. Yeah.
Right.
8, 12.
Very okay. Good.
So, Chair, you're not adjourning.
Yeah, I'm going to call recess.
Recess.
Yep. So, we're going to do M8 through M26. All right. I am calling the meeting in recess. It is 6:55, and we are going to reconvene tomorrow at 9 a.m. Thank you very much, board members. Thank you, everybody, for hanging in there with us.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Aloha.